I never did this before, I have to be honest. I've spoken a lot about Hashem in my life. I never give a parsha shmooze to women, to girls. I give one every week in yeshiva to my talmidim in Torah Chaga. It's an honor to share Divrei Torah, hopefully some chizuk and some important lessons that we can all learn as we begin a new Sefer Devarim and enter the Shabbos Chazon. We all know, I think we've learned in our class over the course of Luke's and Parsha, and some Divrei Torah in the Parsha, so we know that the beginning of Sefer Devarim begins with Tochacha, with Musar. These are the words that Moshe spoke to Bnei Yisrael, Be'ever Ayardin, Ba'midbar, Ba'arava, Mol Suf, Be'in Parana, Be'in Tofel, Be'lavan, Be'chatzil, Be'dizah. That's the first pasuk in Sefer Devarim. Musar. What's the Musar? So Moshe goes through all the different places that Bnei Yisrael messed up. They messed up here, the Chayta Egel, the Meraglim, and the Yamsuf. There's an obvious glaring problem that exists in this pasuk, and that is the following. Why is that Torah does not tell us exactly what these things were directly? Why does the Torah say, you messed up in the Chayta Egel? Why does Moshe say to Israel, you messed up by the Meraglim? You messed up here, you messed up there. Why is the Torah being so indirect? Why is Moshe being so unclear in his Musar of Bnei Israel? Famous question. Rashi comments on this. But Rashi answers, who knows what Rashi says? Good, why not? What does Rashi say, why?
To be sensitive.
Excellent. Rashi says, because that's out of kavod shel Yisrael. If they kvod him shel Yisrael. You want to clap for him? Clap for
him.
It's a different kind of stuff. Kvod him shel Yisrael. It's not so nice, lo na'in, lo yafeh, to go give the person Musa straight up and tell them, you did this wrong and that wrong. Now give them honor, give them cover. That's what Rashi says. I was thinking before, sometimes ideas pop into your mind when you least expect them. I was thinking this is a fresh thought that came into my head this afternoon. The following thought to explain this in a different way. Slightly differently. That's the following. There's another reason why Moshe didn't say directly, there was this Avera and that Avera and that Avera. You know what you want
to
say?
I'm thinking maybe like it's easier to do it. Like I know, not directly. It's the same idea just like going on. Like initially, like I learned that if mashal people like get it much easier. Like if you say specifically what they did wrong, they're not going to accept it as easily.
Very nice. So I want to elaborate on that a little bit in the following way. Listen carefully. Very good. When a person hears things directly, heads on, oftentimes, especially if it's uncomfortable for them, they're not even going to hear anything that you say. They're going to hear noise. I remember there's one person who I love very much, I once had to admonish for something. I had to give him or her, doesn't matter necessarily, Musa. Maybe I love them, maybe they're whatever. And I yelled at them, I have to be honest, I yelled at them.
Me?
Maybe. Maybe not. I yelled, I screamed!
It's not true.
It's not true. It is true. And the person turned to me and said to me, Abba, you're yelling at me. You're yelling at me. They said, you're yelling at me. And they were right. I was yelling at them. And instead of me getting the point that I wanted them to get across, they didn't get that point because all they heard was noise. All they heard was yelling. The beauty of giving tochacha in a remez, in a hint, is that it causes the person to think. Is he talking about me? He's not talking about me. Is he talking to me? He's not talking to me. Is this muster appropriate to me? Is this a message that I have to hear? Or not. And then the person starts thinking, maybe yes, maybe no. And that kind of musar that a person receives is so much more powerful and so much more meaningful because I have to think about it. I have to internalize. I have to ask myself, is this relevant to me? Is this not relevant to me? And that sometimes makes a very, very lasting impression on a human being. I love Reshit for many reasons. One of the reasons is this room. This library is a gold mine. There's a lot of great stories and great books and great svarim in this room. So I pulled out this book, a famous book. I haven't seen this book in years. It's called Listen to Your Messages by my friend, Shlita. And on page 30, it tells a beautiful story that brings this idea home. He's telling it for a different reason. I'm going to read you a little bit of it for a second. A famous story, it's a beautiful story. There's a woman who was becoming a Balas Tshuva in Yerushalayim. And, you know, she got into things, and one day she comes into the school and she announces, okay, I'm out. I'm done. I'm leaving. No more of this for me. So the teacher says, why are you leaving? You're doing so nicely. She says, I'll tell you the truth. I'm pregnant, and I want to have an abortion. I want to get rid of this child. I want to have a child. So I'm leaving. So the rabbi turns around and says, have you thought it through? I thought it through. How about your husband? What does he think? He's behind me. He supports me. Why is that? Why do you want to not have this child? Because I want to pursue a career. This child will get away in my pursuing of my career. This rabbi sees he has no way of getting through to this woman to stop her decision. He says, you know what? I have a good idea. I know a great rabbi. His name is Orbach, of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Come with me. We'll go to him. If you're going to do it anyway, we'll get a blessing from him and see what he says. Maybe he'll bless you and he'll give you a blessing. So they go to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and the rabbi goes along with to be the translator. And they come to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and I'm going to read you the give and take that happened over here. They come to Shlomo Zalman, and she says the following. I would like a blessing. You see, I'm going to terminate my pregnancy. Why would you want to terminate your pregnancy? Asks Shlomo Zalman. Because I want to pursue a career, she says. What kind of career do you want to pursue? I want to become a doctor. And why do you want to become a doctor? Because a doctor saves lives. Shlomo Zalman smiles and asks, really? And what is so important about saving lives? The woman is startled by the question. She gives Shlomo Zalman a strange look, as if she was wondering if he was senile. What's important about saving lives? She says, saving a life is the most important thing in this world. All of a sudden, the significance of what she had just said hits her. She looks at Shlomo Zalman, then she points to her stomach. You don't mean this, do you? Shlomo Zalman says, it can become a life, a living human being. That wasn't Musa that was head on. That wasn't Musa that was in your face. That wasn't Musa that said, oh, you're an absolute lunatic. How could you possibly do something so crazy like that? No, it was Musa that was done b'remez, b'chachma. And sometimes when a person has to think about things in life, and has to internalize things in life, and has to ponder, that kind of Musa is much more real and meaningful and makes a much more lasting impression on a person's life. Just to tie it into Parshas, into Shabbos Chazon. This week we know is Shabbos Chazon. Why is it called Shabbos Chazon? Chazon, you guys all know it because everyone goes to school and they learn Chazon Yishayahu ben Amotz. Perek Aleph of Yishai, my mother is here. I don't know if you guys met her. Hopefully they'll meet her a little bit. My mother can tell you the whole Perek Aleph of Yishai Baal Peh. She learned it in Central High School. Any Central people here? Yeah, she can say, oh, okay, whatever. So Chazon Yishayahu ben Amotz, famous Haftorah, very, very sad Haftorah. One of the most tragic Haftorahs, one of the most chilling Haftorahs that exists. And what happens in Haftorah? So the Musar comes out from Yishayah Navi to Bnei Yisrael. And what's the Musar? So I'm reading from Pasuk Perek, Aleph Pasuk Beis. Shemu Shemayim V'Azini Eretz. Ki Hashem Diber. Listen up! Heaven and earth, banim gidalti v'ramamti, I have raised children, I have elevated them, I brought them up into this world, v'heim pashubi, and they have sinned towards me. They have neglected me. They have acted inappropriately towards me. Now why? What was the problem? Everyone knows. I can see you guys mouthing along the words. Yadash shor koneyu. You know why? Because a shor, he knows his master. V'chamor, it was be'alav. And the chamor, the donkey, he knows at least where the food from his master comes from. And it says six words. Yisrael lo yada. But Bnei Yisrael does not know. What's the next three words?
Ami lo yisbonan.
Gvaldik. Ami lo yisbonan. Pashup shah is this two separate phrases. Yisrael lo yada. The Jewish people don't know. Ami lo yisbonan. And my people have not contemplated. I heard many years ago, probably before most of you were born, a beautiful insight that it's not two separate things. It's one and the same. Do you know why Yisrael lo yada? Why is that we don't know? How come we're in a certain way lower than the ox and the Chamor. How could that be? You know why? The reason why Yisrael Yadai is because Amila Vesbanan. It's because you don't think enough. You don't contemplate enough. You go through motions, you go through life without thinking, without contemplating, without deciding, you know, is this right, is this wrong, should I do this, should I do that, should I not do this? We just go through motions, go with the flow. Yeah, I go here, I go there. Yeah, everyone's going to Ben Yehuda tomorrow, I'll go to Ben Yehuda too. We're going to Meir Sharma, I'll go there. What should I do for my free time? Whatever they're doing. And sometimes we don't think about life the way we're supposed to think about life in a meaningful, deep way. And that's why Yisrael Lo Yada. And if we would be postponing, if we would think in a serious way and contemplate things the way we're supposed to, we'd have a very, very different experience in life. One of the most powerful sentences of Musar in the entire world of Musar, written by whom? Mesillas Yesharim. Good guess. Perek Av Mesillas Yesharim tells us this point. Mesillas Yesharim begins the Sefer. How does it begin? He says, everyone knows this. Yisod HaChasidus. Yeshorash HaAvodah HaTmimah. What's it all about? What's the foundation of everything? Who? There's one thing. One thing that a person has to know in order to be a full-fledged Jew. You got it? She is bar. It should become clear. V'yis ames etzal ha'adam. It should become true and clear to a person. Ma chovaso be'olamo. What am I doing here? Why was I put on the face of this earth? Why did Hashem create me? How does a person know that? There's only one way that a person can get to that understanding. One way in the entire world, and that is by thinking. Thinking about it. Taking time to yourself when no one's around and thinking to yourself, what am I doing here? Why did Hashem create me? Why was I born into the family that I was born into? Why was I born in the community that I was born into? What's my mission? What's my job? What's my tafkid in life? That requires one thing. It's easier said than done. It requires thought. It requires hisboninus. It requires a person to seriously, seriously think about life in a meaningful way. And that will help a person go ahead and try to accomplish that mission. I want to show you one more story, and then I want to close and wrap this home, bring this home to us in our lives. The famous story about Rav Yashiv. That's how Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman were mechutanit. Rav Shlomo Zalman's son of Israel Orbach married Rav Yashiv's daughter, Rebetzin Leah Al Yashiv. Okay, Rav Yashiv's first yahrzeit was this past Shabbos. He passed away 1 year ago. Eli and I went to the Levaya last year, along with another 500,000 Jews in Yerushalayim in the middle of a hot summer night. It was an unbelievable experience. It was a famous Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv was very, very into music, very musically inclined. He didn't put in any CDs. There's no single classics that were put out from Rav Yashiv, but he used to sing Torah. He sang Torah for 100 years straight. Saying the Torah. The Torah was his life, was his song. He was very into chazanus. I can't relate to this. I'm not so into chazanus. A lot of people, when they hear chazanus, and they're like, okay, get me out of here. Shoot me. I'd rather be not here than chazanus. But Rav Yashiv liked chazanus. There was a famous story. There was a famous concert. A famous chazan. Yossel Rosenblatt had come to Yerushalayim, and he was giving a concert in the Chor Bashul in Yerushalayim. Rav Yashiv lived in Meir Sharim. It was around a 20-minute walk to go hear this chazan perform. And he decided, okay, I'm going to go, like everybody else. You know, the whole Yerushalayim was going to hear chazan Rosenblatt sing. Rav Yashiv decides, okay, he's going to go. Starts walking. Step, step. And then he says, you know what? Can't go. Can't go. As much as I want to hear this chazan sing, like the mother's calling me. He turned around and didn't go to the concert. And he missed out on the concert. That was the last concert Chazan Rosenblatt ever gave in his life. But the world gained a Rav Yashiv. How did that happen? Because he thought. He made a cheshbon. He made a calculation. I like the Chazan. I want to hear the Chazan. It'll be great to hear. But there's something that's more important, more valuable, more meaningful, and I want to have and I want to experience in my life. Not Rav Yashiv. I'm not Rebetzin Leah Al Yashiv. I'm not Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So who am I? What am I? So let's just close with this. At least today, I think everybody experienced some type of contemplation. whether you went to the dialogue in the dark, people that can't see and experience that experience, whether you went to the Museum of the Aging. I saw a picture of my Malki the other day, and she was like 75, 80 years old, with gray, you know, with wrinkles in her face. It was pretty scary. I gotta tell you something, don't look too closely. My children remind me about it all the time. But there's gray or white hairs in my beard. You can laugh at it. I used to think people that had gray hair were like ancient, elderly. And I'm gray. It happens. It goes by fast. Really, really fast. Turn around, boom, whoa. Where'd the time go? And the only way that a person can develop and live life to the fullest, like Nisil Sharm says, it charges us to the max, the way that we can, is by stopping to think and contemplate and say, you know what? What am I doing here? Where am I going? What's my path? What's my mission in life? This is the message, the messages. We can, one of the messages we can take from the parasha. The Moser is given in the remez, in a hint, because it makes you think. It makes you internalize it. Yisrael lo yada, ami lo hispanan. Because we're not mezbonim, that's what caused us not to be yodei Hashem. If only we would take time out in our lives to think about life seriously in a meaningful way, so we could try our best, each person on his, actually in this situation, on our own level, to internalize and to think and to contemplate and say, okay, what am I doing? Where am I going? What's my mission? What's my end point? Where am I headed towards? Please God, then we'll do that. We'll learn the lessons of Chazon. Hopefully this is the last time we have to read Chazon, Yeshaya, as a Musa Shmuz. Hopefully we'll get the message. Or our friend writes in his book, we'll listen to our messages, we'll hear the messages. Let's think about life the way that we can, the best that we can. Please God, we'll be Zocha to be Zocha, to be able to have ultimate Kulash Le'er. Amen.